United States v. Diaz-Rios, Ms. O'Daniel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Catherine O'Daniel. I represent Victor Diaz-Rios. And before the Court this morning is a single-issue appeal arising from a sentencing hearing following a guilty plea on a drug possession case. At sentencing, the defendant moved for a minor role reduction, a two-level minor role reduction, and the district court denied his motion, finding only that because of the weight of the drugs, and admittedly it was a large amount of cocaine, it was 45 kilos of cocaine, and the district court found that based on that amount alone, Mr. Diaz-Rios did not qualify for this reduction.
Is there any indication at all that the district court was not aware of the factors it needed to consider, you know, such as the nature and the length of the participation, the financial gain? Were those factors explicitly argued to the court?
Your Honor, they were explicitly argued both in a sentencing memorandum and during the sentencing hearing itself, as is demonstrated in the record. And specifically to address those factors, this young man was involved in this offense for the time period it took him to drive to a gas station in Morris, Illinois, to meet with the individual who had transported this load across country from the West Coast to Morris, Illinois, and to take possession of a duffel bag and a cardboard box. Within 60 seconds of his taking possession of the duffel bag and the box, he was under arrest. Prior to him being arrested, he did open the corner of a duffel bag, and visible to the agents when they approached the car was 1 kilogram of cocaine, or what appeared to be cocaine, the common packaging for it.
And he left the car door open, right?
He left the car door open. He testified in his change of plea hearing, and there were two, that he got scared when he opened the bag and realized, oh, my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? And he wanted to step away and make a call and change his mind. He didn't have the chance to do that. He was arrested before within a 60-second time frame. And with respect to Justice Rubner had asked about the compensation, he was not paid anything. He was loaned a beaten-up Jeep Liberty for his use during the time his visa permitted him to be here on vacation. And after he was given that Jeep, within a few days, the favor was called in.
Yeah, well, that was the payment.
That was the payment, exactly. And the individual who called in the favor, the case law tells the district court to look at relationship with the owners of the cocaine, the people who are masterminding the scheme.
So your basic issue is that all of this was properly presented to the district court judge, but the district court judge never in his statement of reasons for the sentence he chooses addresses the proper points for the minor role.
Correct. And with all due respect to the district court, there was only one factor that he relied upon, and that was the weight of the cocaine.
And the government has more or less confessed error on this.
I've interpreted that way, Your Honor.
Yeah.
The district court didn't even mention any of the other participants who were identified by the government. Their roles were identified. He did not engage in any comparative analysis of the defendant's role vis-a-vis the roles of the people who were higher up.
Well, I'm just being a devil, but Judge Norgal did, along with, you know, considering the drug quantity, he considered the defendant's knowing participation. So it's a little more than just the drug quantity that he relied on, I guess.
I believe that was Judge Norgal's view, but he based that on the fact, on one fact that was not supported in the record at all. He said anybody can knowingly remain ignorant, and it would have taken nothing for him to look inside that box. And the judge appeared to believe that Mr. Diaz-Rios had opened that box as well. The evidence was clear that he partially unzipped the duffel bag, saw that there were kilogram-shaped packages therein, and essentially freaked out and began to step away. I believe the district court, well, my view of the record is that the district court keyed in on his knowledge and based it on those kinds of things and specifically referred to the government's version of the offense, which the government came in and said that that version of the offense was drafted before the debriefing of Mr. Diaz-Rios when they were supplied with a much more clear picture of what the facts of the case were.
What's so interesting about this case is that it seems that both you and the government think that the case should be remanded. And so it's the district court judge who should be here.
No comment. The district court did not mention any of the other participants, so it's clear from the record that there was no analysis of anyone's role, let alone the defendant's role. And based on all the factors, and some that the court has pointed out here today, compensation and length of involvement and any other tasks that were performed by Mr. Diaz-Rios, and there were none at all, it's our position that he fits squarely within at least the two-level minor role reduction, and we are asking that the court remand for resentencing.
You concede that it's not impossible that the district court on remand might again deny it, going through all of these factors.
I certainly hope that's not the case, but I understand that
it's a fresh look.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll reserve any rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. O'Daniel. Mr. Baker.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Stephen Baker on behalf of the United States. As the Court has raised in the initial argument, the government is conceding the finite issue of whether or not the record below is sufficient to demonstrate whether or not the district court entertained the relative culpability of this defendant. From a review of that record, the government does not believe that the district court created a sufficient record to determine whether or not the minor role should be applied.
And there's also a risk of legal error if the district court was still using the old idea that you don't get the minor role reduction if you're just being sentenced for your part of it, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Would you agree that there wasn't really time for the defendant to walk away from the situation? I mean, how much time elapsed? We were, you know, it sounds like 60 seconds.
Your Honor, after the defendant, I would agree with the fact that the defendant did not have time to respond once he was there and received the narcotics. But the conviction in this case, and I think the record is very clear on this, is that the defendant understood what he was going to do before he got there, and he developed the sufficient mens rea in his participation and his presence there. The fact that it was a possession with intent to distribute had to do with the time frame that he actually received the controlled substance.
Did he know the quantity that was going to be in the suitcase? He was told he was going to pick up a suitcase?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Did he know what the quantity would be?
The record is absent that he had any knowledge of that, Judge, and we conceded at sentencing that I did not believe the defendant understood that after his debriefing.
Do you think a PSR is of any use at all to the court when it's produced under the circumstances here? In other words, where the defendant didn't speak with the probation officer and the DEA agent never responded?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
To being contacted.
I think the PSR and probation in particular in this case suffered from the time frame leading up to sentencing, particularly, Your Honor, and I tried to impart this to the district court at the time. That PSR, because of the time frame required for sentencing, was prepared before the defendant had an opportunity to come in and speak. The defendant's own knowledge of what happened, he had an opportunity to speak to probation, but before the defendant had an opportunity to speak to the government under a safety valve interview, which informed us a great deal in terms of his nature and his culpability in the case. Up until that point, we were dealing with a great deal of what the district court dealt with at sentencing, the amount of narcotics involved, his responsibility for those on that day. The probation office was not privy to that information until after our interview of the defendant.
But there was no supplemental report prepared. There was nothing. Usually, I mean, something like that would happen.
Yes, Your Honor. I think that would have been an aid to the district court, as would have had I raised the same issue in terms of filling out the record with regard to the minor role, some of the issues that the court raised with the defense when the defendant presented oral argument here.
Is he deportable? Now, he was here under a visitor's visa.
He was, Your Honor. This is an aggravated felony under the law, and he will be deported at the conclusion of his imprisonment under the law.
Why is someone like this not just deported rather than imprisoned?
Well, Judge, I think as we discuss...
He seems like kind of a sucker, right? He doesn't seem like a professional drug smuggler, does he?
Your Honor, I would agree that this defendant is less culpable than many involved in this degree and the seriousness of this sort of offense.
And he was actually here legally.
That's right, Judge.
Does the government ever just deport criminals rather than bothering to imprison them at great expense to the taxpayer?
Your Honor, in cases of this seriousness where this individual was involved, I am not aware of a case like that. Our office certainly would not. I think what's important here, Judge, considering the relative culpability of this defendant, his sentence, he was sentenced under a guideline range of 87 months and above. If he were given the minor role in this case, as noted in our brief, that would...
63 months, wouldn't
that? That would be the top end, yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. Huh.
Your Honors, given the arguments in our brief, if the court doesn't have any further questions, we will rest on those and ask that you remand for further development of the record.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Baker. Ms. O'Dannon, do you have anything further?
Very briefly, Your Honor. I would simply point out that neither side ever contemplated that Mr. Victor Diaz-Rios was the type of individual who could offer any meaningful cooperation, just given who he was as a person and his limited involvement and scope of his knowledge whatsoever. And because of the fact that he was charged as the only defendant in the case, I think that that's why it was a bit later of a debriefing. The plea came before the debriefing. And
because
I just
the co-conspirators wind up before under a different indictment, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
The man who drove the cocaine wound up before Judge St. Eve, and then there was another offshoot, larger indictment in front of Judge Zagel. So I just wanted Your Honors to know that fact. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Next.